You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. Rob Ferret is off today. As we head into Memorial Day weekend on Monday and the unofficial start of summer, we decided to focus on grilling for this Food Friday. Our guest says that at its core, grilling is simple, but he has lots of advice, techniques, and recipes to share that could take your grilling to the next level. David Guas is a chef at Bayou Bakery, Coffee Bar, and Eatery in Washington, D.C., and the host of the Travel Channel's American Grilled. He's also the author of the book Grill Nation, 200 Surefire Recipes, Tips and Techniques to Grill Like a Pro. David, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me. What's going on?
We're getting ready for Memorial Day weekend, just like you. This is the perfect way to springboard into that. I imagine lots of people firing up the grill and maybe reliving memories. You write that grilling has a lot of family memories for you, and I'm sure you're not alone. Why do you think that grilling is kind of a special thing to do like that?
You know, I think that that's just food in general, but specifically for me, outside, it was about, you know, connecting with my dad, you know, weekend guy. He was a, you know, Monday through Friday, work professional, had his own, office and, was a veterinarian. So Saturday, and if he didn't have surgeries on Saturday, Saturday and Sunday was his time to sort of, kick back and fire up the grill and kind of not watch the clock the whole day, and it was a way to sort of escape, and you know, he allowed me to kind of enter that world and be his assistant and ask a lot of questions like kids do, and that was the way we sort of connected on the weekends, among other things, but grilling was definitely part of that for us.
A lot of people doing that as families this weekend, and you open your book by saying that really grilling is simple. On the other hand, you've got charcoal grills, you've got gas grills, you've got different kinds of wood chips. So how do you make the case that grilling is simple?
Well, you know, for me, it's about reminding people that you don't have to complicate it. There's many levels of it. So once you get into it, as far as an entry level, it can be a very simple process. You're talking about fire. You're talking about a heat source. You're talking about, you know, making sure that a couple things that I tell people right off the bat is make sure that you have direct heat and indirect heat capability. So if you're using a gas grill, it would be more of not turning all four burners on maybe and giving yourself an area within the grill to be able to sort of put your proteins or your vegetables or whatever you're grilling off to the side. In the case of flare-ups or if you're exposing it to too much heat, you want to be able to sort of maybe continue to cook it through but not over direct flame. And same with the charcoal. Charcoal, we always talk about sort of piling up the charcoal and creating a zone. Zone your charcoal so maybe only a third of your grill was occupied by the actual charcoal. And then you've got plenty of space to sort of put your item off to the side to give it some rest while it continues to cook through. And so if you follow a couple of those sort of basic things, you know, there's no reason to panic.
Well, let's start with the setup. Since you're the grill master here, what do you recommend for, you know, like the optimal grill to use and what equipment do you need?
You know, some basic things, obviously, you know, it really is a preference thing. So if you're a charcoal guy like or a gal like myself, you know, I would recommend just sort of one of those barrel type of grills, and or you know, Weber's are great. Obviously, Green Eggs. So there's the list is pretty large now, and so a lot to choose from. The more you grill, the more you'll kind of learn the grill's personality, and really, it's going to become reflective of kind of your style and your personality. So, I always tell people to grill on other people's grills for a while before they invest too much into a grill that you know may not be for them. Do research. You know, the internet's great; plenty of information out there. And then, you know, some simple tools: some extended tongs, some long extended spatula. A chimney starter is great for being able to fire up your coals pretty quickly. If you're an impatient griller like myself, you know, you want to get one of those chimney starters, pile up the charcoal and light a little newspaper underneath it, and about 15, 20 minutes later, you're ripping to go. And then, you know, if you like to play around with the wood, you want to make sure you have some wood chips or chunks around. I'm a big fan of three or four different types. I use pecan and apple and cherry, and then I love you know, some hickory, and I usually blend some of those together. So a lot of people tell me, you know, they ask me what I like to use as far as wood, and I really just kind of mishmash it together. Apple, I try to stay in the pork range, you know, pecans and things like that. I'll do with some meats, some red meats and things like that, and maybe some poultry. So, you know, it's kind of never-ending. But, again, some simple tools to get started. It doesn't have to really be a very expensive way to get into grilling.
We definitely have to get to the food, but I want to ask you, I have a gas grill at home. It's what we use. How do you incorporate wood chips with a gas grill?
Well, it depends on what kind of grill you do have. Some of them have these sort of auto pellets that sort of it will add a certain amount of the pellets to the grill almost on a timer. So these grills have become smarter than we have and really have sort of taken on a whole different realm of amenities, options, and things like that. I'll put a pan at the bottom of the grill and add a little bit of water to it, and I can put some chips inside of the water. I can also just use that sort of base of that gas grill to be able to sort of create a little bit of smoke. So I'll put water separately, and then I'll put some chips in a separate little pan at the base of the belly of the grill itself, and you'll be able to sort of create some smoke flavor from that.
Okay, great. Some good ideas there. Well, let's talk about, this is sort of your basics, your square one, your sauces. You say you've got to have your sauces going on, and you've got a lot of them in your cookbook. What do you recommend? What's your favorite here for a good starter?
There's some really easy ones that don't require a lot of ingredients, some ketchup-based type of sauces and things like that. I got to play around with a bunch of different ones. My dad was kind of the sauce guy, none of his sauces were ever quite exact. So one day he might make one a little differently with some added spices. To me, you want to start with an acid. You want to have a ketchup base, and then maybe a little Worcestershire and some seasonings, salt and pepper. Obviously, some sweetness, either coming from brown sugar. I love honey and what honey does in the sauce. It really helps to lacquer and create a lot of great mahogany color on the grill. Plus, using honey really sort of helps to absorb sort of the smoke flavor, in my opinion, a little bit more so than some other sweeteners. But again, brown sugar works great, honey, also cane syrup, sorghum. So those type of natural syrups are wonderful to sort of blend. And of course, some additional acid, either coming from white vinegar or cider vinegar and things like that. So if you kind of start with those three or four things, the seasoning part of it can be really a personal thing. You can, add a little heat by adding a little cayenne, or you can play around with some chipotle peppers and things like that if you want more of a smokier type of sauce. So, that's the way I go.
And you've got a couple if you really want to mix it up a little, don't go for the barbecue sauce. You've got an Asian seafood marinade. And what's in that one?
The Asian seafood marinade?
Yeah.
The sauces are, really about, I'm going to try to think real quick.
It's like some sesame oil and some lime juice and some brown sugar.
Yeah, it's about a region, so you're sort of matching up different ingredients with your particular region. And so when you stay in that region, you're really helping to, invoke that area. So with the lime and other flavors like soy and things like that, and a little bit of sweetness coming from sugars, that really sort of helps to bring it all together.
And you've also got some surprising things in here, like that one. You've got a recipe for grilled oysters. Can oysters really be grilled?
Oh, yeah. Coming from New Orleans, that was one of the signature dishes of New Orleans and still is today. There's something called a charbroiled oyster, and it's these beautiful Louisiana oysters that are large enough to cut with a steak knife. Some of them are massive, like big old ribeyes, and that really lends itself to the grill. And we'd crack them open on the half shell, and then we'd make a garlic butter, and we would sort of allow that to sort of be ladled over the top of the open half-shell oyster right on the grill. And what happens is some of that butter kind of falls off to the side and runs through the shell. It'll spark a flare-up on your grill and really sort of create a smokiness. And that oyster literally will start bubbling in its own shell. And just as it starts to curl the edges, we usually pull it right off the grill because you want them to kind of still be moist and tender and not dry out.
Oh, that sounds really good. I've never had one, but it sounds delicious.
It's fantastic.
Well, we've got a caller now. Let's take Bill joining us in Prescott. Hi, Bill.
Hello, and good afternoon. I've got a question for your guest in regards to a particular grill. It grills three ways: convection, radiation, and going to have to help me out with a third one there. There's only two manufacturers that I'm aware of. One is domestic. I'm not going to plug anybody, but it begins with the first initial T, and there's three syllables, and then there's a well-known Japanese.
Uh-huh. And what help do you need with it?
I need to source whether any of these are available in Wisconsin.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see if we know. I don't know about that one. That sounds pretty fancy. What do you think about that, David? Are you familiar?
Well, I don't know the specific brands and manufacturers, but I will say that on our show on the Travel Channel, the American Grilled Show, that I played host on, we actually had kind of one of those hybrid style grills, and you know, they were interesting. We had the gas aspect of it, of a sort of a traditional gas grill. There was a sort of a high heat radiant temperature burner that was almost like a broiler. It really had intense heat on one side, and then had a little bit of a smoker kind of aspect on the other side. And it was great for the show because it allowed people three different sort of ways to prepare things and gave you a little bit more surface area than traditionally. You know, this particular one was not heavy duty, and you know, I kind of, as much as I love my grills, I really work them over pretty good. So I would make sure that, you know, you're sourcing something that's got a good gauge steel and is made with you know, a high quality thick you know, type of metal, so that you can, you know, time after time you're gonna, you know, have that grill at a certain temperature. So you really want to make sure that you're not getting something too cheap.
We're talking right now with grill expert David Gloss about his new book. It's called Grill Nation, talking on this Food Friday. And we're taking your calls. What are you planning to grill up for Memorial Day? Do you have a favorite go-to recipe, a technique, a sauce, or maybe a question for our guests about mixing it up with some of the usual burgers and brats? He's got some ideas there, too. You can call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert, and we're picking up our chat about grilling on this Food Friday with David Gloss. He's a chef and author of the new cookbook, Grill Nation. And we're taking your calls right now. Want to know what you're grilling up this weekend? If you have some questions about grilling technique or recipes, we've got a lot that we can focus on here. Chicken and pork and burgers. We're going to get to some of that, along with a recipe for peach glazed pork chops. You can call up, ask our expert at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. And David, let's get to that recipe you gave us, peach glazed pork chops. What goes into that one?
You know, it's starting right off the bat with the peach preserve. So, you know, something that you generally will have in your pantry, and so when you start with something like that has the pectin and sort of jellifying agent already in it, you're really going to already have that sort of nice opportunity to get a sort of a coating or a glaze, and so it's countered with the soy, so it's not so sweet, and that ginger just really brightens everything up and gives a little heat. It's just a wonderful simple sauce that again doesn't require a lot of ingredients.
Sounds great. And that one is up right now on our Central Time Facebook page. And we're going to go to a caller now. Dan is joining us from Harvard, Illinois. Hi, Dan.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
I had a question about something to give a good smoke flavor. I recently bought one of the smokers, but I found that it seems like all the smoking recipes in the smoker take too long. So do you have any recommendations for something that doesn't quite take quite as long on the smoker, or something that you can grill, a good way to grill and get the smoke flavor?
Sure. I love smoking salmon, you know, just a fresh salmon fillet, getting, you know, a side of you know, Atlantic salmon or whatever type of salmon that's sort of in your area. And, you know, an oilier fish like that has a lot of flavor does not require a lot of smoking time. I will get my grill really hot. You know, sometimes I used to soak my wood chips and chunks, and now I don't. A good friend of mine, Danielle, they call her Diva Q. She's on the barbecue circuit. She's sort of, you know, denounce that sort of technique, and so I'm kind of been playing back and forth with soaking my wood and not soaking it. So I use chunks versus chips, they tend to release a little bit slower. So if you want something a little faster, go ahead and use the chips as opposed to the chunks. So something a little finer with your wood. And then once your salmon's on, you know, get a really hot grill so you don't stick. And I will bring it to about a medium rare and sprinkle the chips into my grill and lit it and literally shut my dampers down. And all it needs is about 3 to 4 minutes to finish up. And it's amazing how quickly the fish will pick up the smoke. So that really goes for a lot of fish, grouper and snapper and salmon and trout, bronzino, all those type of fish really just sort of play with that smoke really, really nicely, and it doesn't require a lot of time.
Sounds good. All right. Thanks for the call, Dan. Appreciate that. And we have an open line for you at 800-642-1234 as we get ready for some Memorial Day grilling. And David, in the book, you've got a big section on chicken, and one features sweet tea. Now, I know sweet tea is a big thing in the South. What does it do to chicken?
You know, it's going to give you a certain color. You know, most of those teas that we use for sweet tea, whatever brand it may be for you, is a black tea, and it just gives it sort of a depth and a sort of an herbal aspect and undertone, which is just really nice with poultry.
And do you have any other recommendations like that, where you can use it on other meats?
Yeah, I mean, really, it's delicate enough that it really only works with the poultry, you know, so guinea hen or guinea fowl and squab and quail and chicken, you know, a duck as well works quite nicely. I haven't tinkered with the with other proteins with it, but I can imagine that pork might work nicely as well, but definitely not really a red meat kind of pairing, so I would stay away from playing around with a big old ribeye and sweet tea.
Well, before we let you go, we got to talk a little bit about sort of your staples, your burgers, your hot dogs, your brats. What do you recommend for taking your typical burger and doing it well, not getting one that's not dried out, not charred on one side, but maybe also fancying it up a little?
Yeah, well, you know, perfect example of dressing something up that, you know, what I consider sometimes a little boring, your typical sort of turkey burger. We do one called the Feathered Fez, and it's a riff off of kind of the Mediterranean. Again, talking about sort of staying regional with your ingredients. My wife doesn't eat beef or pork, and so we cook a lot of turkey in the house. We have to wait till she goes out of town to get out the big red meats. But this is just a simple application. A little Worcestershire and a little salt on the outside of the patties, but really the showstopper are the sort of the toppings. So, you know, cooking it all the way through, obviously with turkey, going for the thigh meat, you know, more flavor versus the breast. Breasts tend to dry out a little bit more. If you're worried about the fat content, buy a pound of each and blend them yourself. So once these are grilled to 165 degrees internal temperature, we dress it up with this really nice olive tapenade kind of mayonnaise. Very simple, some baby spinach, tomatoes, maybe some grilled portobello mushrooms and some crumbled feta. It's a very exciting burger all of a sudden because of all these fun toppings and ingredients, and also because of all those grilled vegetables and the lettuce. You know, it really adds additional moisture to the finished burger. So kind of fun and definitely a home run with the flavors.
Yeah, that sounds great. And another one that caught my eye, you know, you got your typical hot dog, but this one had, I think it had sriracha sauce on it, and it was also brined or marinated in beer for a while. How does that go down?
Well, you know, it's, again, talking about what sriracha does, you know, you've got that sort of acidity and that sort of sharpness with the vinegar, it's just a wonderful way to sort of balance of that. So we've got a little bit of mayonnaise and the whole grain mustard, and we make that sauce together. And sort of almost like not a deconstructed, but kind of a cabbage and pickle relish topping. You know, for me, it's really about, you know, sort of having fun. That's an easy way to sort of play with different flavors is with a hot dog, you know. Throwing them on the grill, you don't have to smoke them. Throwing a little smoke on there, but being very creative with the toppings was an easy thing for me and also just a lot of fun.
And David, in our last seconds here, what are you going to grill this weekend?
That is a great question. I will be at my restaurant pretty much all weekend that we just opened up, but I can tell you I'm going to try to fire it up this weekend and definitely get some andouille on there. And I also have some lamb necks in the freezer from a good friend of mine in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, and I'm probably going to make a little chimichurri and be able to sort of snack on those lamb necks.
Wow, that sounds adventurous. Well, have a yummy Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, you do as well, and thanks so much, and happy grilling, everybody.
Thanks a lot. Well, that was David Guas. He is chef at Bayou Bakery, Coffee Bar, and Eatery in Washington, D.C., and host of the Travel Channel's American Grilled, the author of the new book, Grill Nation, 200 Surefire Recipes, Tips, and Techniques to Grill Like a Pro.